Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, church family. It's a blessing to be here this morning. And it's certainly a privilege to preach for this special Missions Sunday. And I trust that the Lord will encourage your heart and warm you up a little bit. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures this morning. So please keep up. And before we turn to our first verse, let me ask, when it comes to missions, this great subject, what is the great passage in the Bible that we usually turn to first? Well, we just sang it, didn't we? Matthew chapter 28, why don't we turn there as we look at this verse. Obviously, you're quite familiar with it. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And these passages are what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission given to the church, and as it's often been said, the last words of Christ on earth should be our first priority. And those are wise words, and yes, they should be. But when we think of missions, all too often, we think that it is only a New Testament command. Often when we think of missions, we think it's a very New Testament idea. Now, Christian, would you be surprised that missions did not begin in the New Testament? Missions did not begin with the Great Commission. In fact, missions began with God. You see, missions was the heartbeat of God before it was ever breathed out into the local New Testament church. From the first book of the Bible to the last, we have a complete continuity of God's missionary plan. From the promises of salvation to Adam and Eve, to the commission of the New Testament church to reach the world, all Scripture testifies to a God who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now you see, so often our mindset is fixed on the New Testament, isn't it? And yes, it should be. We are a local New Testament church. But so often, because of that mindset, we fail to grasp the enormity of God's great commission, His great missionary plan. Because God's command to us as a church is founded in His eternal and eternal purpose and plan for mankind, God's redemption of mankind. So this morning, we're going to have a little bit of a different message. We're going to take a step back and look at the big picture of missions from the Word of God, so that you and I this morning can value the greatness of the commission that God has indeed called us to. The title of the message this morning is Missions, the Heart Cry of God. And Christian, is missions your heart cry? Do you and I have the same heart as our wonderful Lord and Saviour? I trust that God would enlarge our heart this morning and enlarge our vision to see what indeed He has called us to. Let's search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. Amen. Well, let's pray. Let's ask for the Lord's help this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that You alone would be our vision. Lord, we are distracted and our thoughts are taken away by so much that is happening in the world today. Father, we need You to revive us again. Lord, we need You to speak to us through Your eternal word. Lord, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Lord, we need Your word. We pray that You would illuminate our eyes. May the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, challenge us to see your very heart. Father, thank you for all that you will do in our lives, and we thank you for the privilege of being involved in reaching this world for Christ. Help us now, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Well, if missions did not begin with the Great Commission, where did it begin? Well, let's turn to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 3. And that's always a good place to start. Amen. The first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. Let's look at the origin of missions. You see, missions started in the heart of God. That's what we need to remember. That is the big picture that God wants to impress on us this morning. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 8. Now, the faster you turn to these verses, and there'll be a few of them, the faster we will move along. Amen? So if you're slow, well, we'll go slower. And that'll be fine too. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Well, Adam and Eve had catastrophically sinned against the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The word death means separation. So for the first time in history, God's beloved creation, mankind, was separated from a holy God by their sin. They deserved to die. They were ashamed. They were hiding, as we can see here in Genesis chapter 3. But notice God, what was God doing? Well, God was not hiding from them. Amen? God did not forsake them. In fact, the Bible tells us that God went to them. They were separated by sin, but he sought them out. And beloved, God has not changed in his heart from the very beginning of the Bible here in the book of Genesis. God is one who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that is the truth that the religious Jews in Christ's day would not and could not understand. They refused to believe in a God who would seek after, passionately, lovingly, determinately, after the lost. So that's why Christ taught the three greatest parables, I believe, in the scriptures. The parable of the lost things, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Three lost things, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, at work together, seeking to save the lost. My friend, that is the heart cry of God. That is the origin of missions right here in the book of Genesis at the fall of man. My friend, there is a much bigger picture than the Great Commission for what you and I are called to this morning. Well, we look at the continuation of missions in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Here we see the Abrahamic covenant. And if you bear with me, we'll look at a number of verses here, verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 12. Many times these verses have been preached to call missionaries to the mission field to go. Well, Abraham was called to go. Verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Notice verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now I hope you can see my point this morning. Now yes, God was going to use Abraham to be a father of a great nation, the nation of Israel. But the Abrahamic covenant was not just about God blessing Israel. That's not what we see in the scriptures alone. No, there is a promise of God that there will be a blessing that will be poured out to all nations, to all peoples. See, through Abraham, the Bible tells us, a seed will be born, the nation of Israel. And it is through the nation of Israel that the promise of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the whole world, will be born. That is the blessing that God is speaking of. That through thy seed, all families of the earth will be blessed. You see, the Old Testament was never about God blessing Israel and Israel sitting on their blessing while the rest of the world went to hell. That's not the picture we see. If we're not careful, that's all we will see. But that's not what God shows us. No, God shows us that the Gentiles were not a forsaken people. They were not an afterthought. They were not a castaway. All nations were in God's heart all along from the very beginning. You see, missions is the heart cry of God. It began in the Garden of Eden. Continued through the nation of Israel. Israel were to be that light, weren't they? Israel were to be that light to the nations. Ye are the light of the world. Does that sound familiar? Now let me stop here to say, I'm not saying the church has replaced Israel. The church has not replaced the nation of Israel. God's plan and purposes for the nation of Israel have been paused for the moment. And we have been put in place to be the light of the world today. And God's promises for Israel will be fulfilled in time to come. But here, in Genesis chapter 12, we see that Israel will be the light of the world. And God had a place for them among the nations to be that light. Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. What kind of witness could Israel be to the nations? As they were imprisoned, as they were enslaved in Egypt? That's a good question. Well, God had a plan, didn't he? God knew what he was doing. He was preparing his people. And here in Egypt, while they were still in bondage, we read about God's purposes for the plagues that would be unleashed upon the greatest kingdom, the greatest nation of the earth. Verse 15. Exodus chapter 9, verse 15. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. This is what God will do to Egypt. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So here we see the purpose of the plagues were not only to force Pharaoh to let God's people go. Yes, absolutely, that was one purpose, but we see that God's goal and purpose through Israel was that his name would be proclaimed throughout all the earth. That was God's plan. Have a look in Exodus chapter 15. A few chapters over, Exodus chapter 15. God's people had just beheld probably the greatest miracle, the Red Sea crossing. They walked on through water on dry land with walls of water on the left and on the right side. And as the Egyptian enemy pursued them in hot pursuit, their chariot wheels fell off. They got stuck in the mud, as we would say. And God closed the waters on top of Israel's enemy, and they were seen no more forever. And Moses the prophet sang a song. It was a song of prophecy, a song of divine truth. Verse number 14. Follow along with me there. The people shall hear and be afraid. What people? Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. So these are the people who lived in the region round about in Palestine. Verse 15. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Once again, the Red Sea crossing. It wasn't only about God removing the Egyptians from the picture to no longer be a hindrance to God's people. Notice with me, was it not a miracle and a message as a witness to all the nations round about that the Lord God is the one true living God? So that they would fear and they would tremble, and as we have read, that they shall be still as a stone. Why? Because it was a message to them that the God of the Israelites is God. Not the God of the Egyptians, not the idols whom which they worshipped, but he is God. He is God alone. Now you might say, wow, well, where is missions in that? Because we know what happens in the future. What God was aiming for. He was bringing his people into the promised land, and we know that he commanded them to destroy the inhabitants of that land. Where is missions in that? Where is the heart cry of God for souls in that? Maybe you've wondered about that before. Many people will say, well, the God of the Old Testament was very different from the new. God of the Old Testament was cruel, harsh, unloving, many have said. And he's very different in the new. No, that's not true at all. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. How do we know that in this message sent out to the nations, fear and dread coming upon them, how did we know that God's ultimate purpose was that someone would believe, was that someone would fear and repent, would be that someone would turn to the Lord? How do we know if that would be so? Well, who was listening across the land? In the land of Canaan, who was listening and was afraid? Who was listening and heard that the one true living God and his people were coming? Who was listening and unlike the people whom she lived in the midst of, they were fearing for their lives. Who was listening that was fearing for their very soul? Who was it? Well, you can say her name this morning. She was like Lydia, was she not? Whose heart the Lord opened? Who was seeking God? Who was a sinner? And as a harlot, Rahab knew she was the worst of sinners. She had lived a horrific life, using her body to do horrific things. But Rahab heard that the one true living God had done such great and fearful things, and his people were coming. And instead of fearing for her own life, there came a point in her soul where she repented of her sins. And she put her faith in the God of grace for her salvation. So that by the time Joshua and the army arrived at the land of Canaan to destroy the city of Jericho, she was a changed woman. And she is recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. A great woman of faith. Why? Because she believed. She responded to that message that sounded out from the Red Sea, you see. That's who Rahab is. And if you doubt the goodness of God, well, her whole family was saved too, were they not? Her whole family was delivered from the judgment of the destruction of that city. And we also know the goodness of God in the fact that she was married. After she was a believer, she was married to an Israelite. And that Israelite was no ordinary person. That Israelite was in the line of Judah, and out of the tribe of Judah came the line of Christ, and out of that line came the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. That is the grace of God. Amen. That is the heart cry of God for the lost. Why were not all those in Jericho saved? Because unlike Rahab, they refused to repent. Amen. They did not want God. They did not want him as their Lord and Savior. They rejected the message that was sounded out from the Red Sea. But nevertheless, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He does not delight, amen, in the death of the wicked. We know that. Why did God have to destroy the Canaanites? Well, likewise, they would not repent. They would not repent, brethren. They were proud, and they were bold in their sin. They were living wicked lives. In fact, they were horrifically cruel and wicked. And in spite of the greatness of their depravity, God was extremely long-suffering. In fact, God gave them over 400 years to turn from their sins, to turn from their wickedness. Do you remember in the book of Genesis when God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 that the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. What does that mean? God was giving them time. Now, God knew what would happen in the future, but that doesn't take away from the fact that God was reaching out to the whole world through Israel. God was sending a message to all the nations. God is not cruel. In fact, Psalm 86, verse 5, we read, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." Ready to forgive. "And plenteous in mercy unto all them," not just the Jews, "unto all them that call upon thee." Can you see the greatness of God's heart this morning? Christian, do you have the same heart as God? Is missions your heart cry? Well, there's a big picture here, isn't there? Well, let's continue on. What about individual witnesses? Well, turn with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Jonah may not be the best example of a witness, but surely in the book of Jonah we see the greatest example of God's love. God's love for the lost. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. Now Jonah's sitting next to Micah, so if you're looking for him, that's where he is. And that's where the book of Jonah is. So turn with me there. I hope you're getting the picture this morning. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. We don't have time to go into all the details of every verse, so I trust you'll keep up with me. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Now this is unbelievable. Nineveh was the most savagely violent city in the world at that time. They hated God's people. They butchered God's people. No wonder Jonah wasn't keen to go to Nineveh to deliver God's message to them. But nevertheless, God spoke to Jonah in Jonah chapter 1 to say that their wickedness has come up before me. What did God want Jonah to do? To go and destroy them? To take an army to obliterate them? No, he wanted Jonah to warn them one last time. One last opportunity. Because God is long-suffering. Because God seeketh such as should be saved. Because God is on a mission. That's why he sent Jonah. And that's why God wouldn't accept Jonah's refusal to go. And so Jonah went. He preached God's word. And the Bible tells us miraculously that the whole city repented. They turned from their wickedness. And brethren, this is not one isolated exception in the scriptures. It may be a highlight in the word of God, absolutely. But this is not an isolated exception. There is no election here, amen? There is just a holy, righteous, just God who would forgive those who repent. Anyone ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. And so they did. They repented. The whole city was forgiven. And who in the end received God's rebuke? Well, it was Jonah. Jonah didn't have the same heart as God did. Jonah was a work in progress, like you and I are. So often we have the heart of Jonah, don't we? Me, myself, and I. We don't have the heart of God. We don't see the big picture. We don't realize that God is still on a mission. Amen. And God wants us to be a witness for him to all people, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to hold the missionary rope for missionaries who are preaching the gospel. Let's not be like Jonah. Let's be more like the Lord. To have a heart for the lost. Well, God's missionary plan continued. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I know we're turning back, but trying to keep things in order. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Are you still with me this morning? My friends, we are involved in a great, great commission. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. Let's have a look at God's witness through the temple. God's witness through the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. Have a look at what God says here in verse number 32 and 33. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. What was the temple all about? Yes, it was the focal point of worship for the people of God. But notice these next details in verse 32. Moreover, concerning the stranger, notice this, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy name's sake, and thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in the house. Verse 33, why don't we read this verse together out loud, shall we? 1, 2. Then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. Now, did you see that? Can you see what we're working towards here this morning? The temple was not just a place of worship for the nation of Israel. Yes, it was essential for them, but it was also a witness to the nations. For what end? Well, as the Apostle Paul said to the Greeks in Athens, that they should seek after God. If they might haply feel after him and find him, for he is not far from every one of us. Amen. And that is not a New Testament doctrine, my friend. The temple was a witness to the world. Amen. To invite them to come and worship the one true living God, so that strangers from a far country might come and pray and God would hear their prayers. Amen. Because he is on a mission. Because God's heart cry is missions to reach the lost. That was the witness of the temple in the Old Testament. And that's what broke the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. When he went into the temple and he saw the money changers, the swindlers, the cheats, the robbers, making merchandise of the house of God. Do you remember what he said in the New Testament in Mark chapter 11? He taught, saying unto them, "Is it not written, my house shall be called the house of prayer?" But we often miss a little detail there. That's not the whole verse. "Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves." Can you see why the zeal of the Lord ate him up that day? Why the Lord Jesus Christ in his righteous anger, his holy wrath, took a string of cords. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there and seen it happen? Took a string of cords, and not only did he beat those animals out of the court, but he also beat the sellers as well and drove them out in his righteous anger. Why? Yes, the house of God ought to be a holy place where God is worshipped, but I believe there was much more than that. Where were they making merchandise of the house of God? The place that ought to be a witness to all nations. Was it not in the very court of the Gentiles? The very place that foreigners might come and seek after God? Was it not the Lord zealous over his house and the witness that was being destroyed for those who had come to seek the one true living God, who were not of the nation of Israel? Was it not for them? Do we not see more clearly the Lord's zealousness, not only for the holiness of God, but for the nations, for the world? This is the big picture of missions, my friends. Let's go to the Psalms. Psalm chapter 22. Now, as we look at the Psalms, remember, this is what Israel sang. Aren't you glad we can sing in church now? Amen. What a wonderful thing it was to sing again on Wednesday night. That was our first service back after being away last weekend. And And what a joy it was to sing to the Lord. Now remember, psalms were Israel's hymns. They were their worship songs. This is what they sang. This is what they sang in worship to God. And these are the words that they lifted up in praise and adoration. And these are the proclamations they made like this. Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22, verses 27 to 28. Let's read together out loud. Ready? 1, 2. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Thank you for turning there. Psalm 46 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Do we see a pattern this morning? I hope we do. Psalm chapter 72, verses 17 to 20. Let's turn over there. Psalm chapter 72, verses 17 to 20. Remember, these are Israel's words of praise to a God that we think perhaps is only veiled by the Great Commission in the New Testament. No, he is not. Psalm chapter 72, verses 17 to 20. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. You see, the gospel going out throughout the whole world, the message of salvation is not only a New Testament commission. It is revealed in the heart of God throughout Scripture, from beginning to the end. And it was the psalmist's desire. That is what they sang. That is what they worshipped. Just like you and I sang this morning, hymns of worship regarding God's love for the world. Amen? The Great Commission that we just sung. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That resounds in our hearts, but it resounded in the heart of the psalmist. Here in the Old Testament, among the nation of Israel. So here we clearly see that missions is God's eternal purpose and plan. What an amazing picture. Well, what about the prophets? Isaiah chapter 60. Don't worry, we're getting towards the end. Isaiah chapter 60. Thank you for your patience. What else can we see in this big picture of missions? Well, the prophets are prophets, declaring the future, declaring the end. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 3. Let's read this verse once again out loud together. The book of Isaiah chapter 60. Remember, they looked into the future. They saw what was to come. They saw the entire picture of God. Sadly, the Pharisees did not study these scriptures. They missed the full picture. We can see it this morning. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, on 2, 1, 2. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Jeremiah chapter 3, and verse 17. The Gentiles shall come to thy light. What an amazing revelation. The Gentiles shall come to thy light. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 17. Let's read aloud together once again on 2. 1, 2. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. My friends, does that not reveal the heart of God? The heart of God for all nations? The redemption plan of God? His desire to reconcile all people unto himself? That is God's heart. Now, it does not mean that everyone will respond to God's proclamation to repent and be saved. But that does not take away from the fact that that is God's chief desire. That is God's mission. That is God's will. That is God's plan. And one day, Jerusalem will no longer be known as a troublesome city, a place of war, a place of turmoil, a place of divisions, but all nations of the earth shall be gathered unto him. What a glorious day that will be, amen? What a glorious future is in store. But the prophets saw that. They knew that. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14, let me read it out. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the whole earth, as the waters cover the sea. Malachi chapter 1, the last book of the Old Testament. For the sake of time, let's just turn there. Malachi chapter number 1 verse 11. Malachi chapter number 1 verse 11. Malachi chapter number 1, verse 11, let's read aloud on 2. 1, 2. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, I trust the message is obvious this morning. Missions is the heart cry of God. When you read the Old Testament, we see from the very beginning that it's God's eternal purpose and plan to reach the whole world, to reach all peoples of the world. And here's my point. God's plan for missions hasn't stopped. It's continuing today. And now God's great missionary plan and purpose has come to us. That is the big picture of missions. Yes, the Great Commission, but there's a much bigger picture. Now you and I in a local New Testament church have the responsibility to have the same heart as God and do what God has for us in this day, and go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Christian, do you have the heart of God? Is missions your heart cry? Well, in our age, the church has been commanded to reach the world. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and ye shall receive power. Speaking to the church. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That is what God has called us to. We are his witnesses. Amen? We are part of a big picture, Christian. Bigger than we often are willing to acknowledge. And the reality is, as a local New Testament church, missions is why we are in existence. Yes, we are called to know him. But if we know him, we'll understand his heart. We'll understand God's purpose for this age. It is to send missionaries. It is to support missionaries. It is to pray and give our supplication for the missionary work around the world. That is what God has called us to. Brethren, missions is what the church is about first and foremost. So when it comes to Mission Sunday today, and you receive a faith promise missions card, please don't believe that missions is about money. No, that's not at all. If you think missions is about money, well, you haven't been listening this morning. Missions is about you and I having the same heart as God does. That's what it is about. And yes, giving is a part of it, absolutely. But if God's got your heart, he's got everything else. And the only question you need to ask God is, Lord, what would you have me to give this year? Not, Lord, would you have me to give this year? Amen? Those questions are very different. Brethren, we need to be very careful in the day in which we live. Suddenly the world has changed. Suddenly your plans have changed. I know mine have. They've gone completely out the window. Why? Well, perhaps so that our desires would be God alone. Maybe that's the reason. I think that could be true. So that he would be our expectation. That he would have our heart and our desire, not our plans and purposes. Many of your plans have changed, haven't they? Your lives have been impacted, some more than others. But as we've looked at the scriptures this morning, let us be assured that God's plan for the ages has not changed. Amen? God's plan for our church has not changed. You and I have to have the same heart as the Lord Jesus Christ. God is still on a mission. What about you and I? No wonder the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, and no wonder he praised them and encourage them for financially supporting him as a missionary. No wonder he told them that their giving to him financially was an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God, as I mentioned last time, like a sweet savour wafting up before the throne of God that delighted the heart of God. Why? Because these believers had the very same heart as the living God. That's why it delighted the heart of God, their giving. That's why God delighted in their gifts towards this missionary, towards the work of God. And no wonder fruit would abound to their account and they will be rewarded for all eternity because they understood the heart cry of God. Do we understand the heart cry of God this morning? Well, I trust you want to be well-pleasing to the Lord. God wants us to have his heart. Now, as we close, the world is talking about a new normal. That means things have changed, restrictions are set in place, and perhaps things will never be the same again. A new normal. Brethren, God does not want a new normal for missions. God does not want missions to be restricted, to be limited, Christians to be uncommitted, to be unsurrendered. Amen? No, that's not the new normal that God wants. No, he would rather have you and I ask for the old paths. Amen? That where is the good way, and that we may walk therein, the old paths of the Word of God. That's what we've looked at this morning. God's heart for the lost. That's the heart we need to have before we decide on what to commit to Faith Promise Missions Giving. Yes, Faith Promise Missions Giving is a way that we can reach the world, that we can partner with missionaries, that we can fulfill the Great Commission. But where is your heart this morning? I trust your heart has been enlarged by witnessing God's heart throughout the ages. His mission continues. May we as a church continue with him. Amen. As Pastor comes, as we conclude the service, may God have his will and way in each of our hearts. Thank you, Pastor.